This is a download from BFM 89.9. The business station.
Now, taking a look at our other neighbour, though, in India. India's first full-time female finance minister, Nirmala Sitharaman, presented her maiden annual budget last week. And this is the first budget since India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi's landslide victory in the general election this year.
Yeah, but a lot of people have complained about Narendra Modi's previous performance as a Prime Minister, saying that he did not achieve his growth targets for the economy. So right now, there are going to be very big expectations because it comes against an economic slowdown as well as a record high unemployment rate.
Yeah, so Sitharaman said that India could grow to about $5 trillion US dollar economy in the next 5 years from the $2.7 trillion economy that they have right now, and outlined her priorities for spending. So if we look at some of the key highlights of the budget, a focus on boosting the country's infrastructure, which was in line with Modi's and his BJP party's main election promise. And in his manifesto, he also pledged to spend about $1.44 trillion on infrastructure by 2024.
Now, Sitharaman also emphasized investments to improve railway infrastructure and said the government would also build 125,000 kilometers of roads over the next 5 years at a cost of about $12 billion. Many of the development schemes announced do focus on bridging that rural-urban divide. Corporate taxes will also be reduced to 25% from 30% for companies that have an annual turnover of up to $58 million. Now, Sitharaman's added she will examine options to open up foreign direct investment in the aviation, media and animation, as well as the insurance sectors.
I think this is a very fine example of how fiscal policy and fiscal stimulus can be done. This is very different from what they're doing all around the world, including the US, EU, and even Japan, right, which uses monetary policy to prop up the economy. And it hasn't had its intended effect because a lot of the money gets trapped in the financial system, mm-hmm. in banks and so on. But when you reduce taxes of the wealthy, when you spend on infrastructure, hopefully that can have some kind of a multiplier effect on the Indian economy. And they expect a huge jump in the GDP to $5 trillion.
From the 2.7.
That is quite significant, yeah. That's nearly double the existing GDP. So to give us some insights, we have on the line with us Pramod Amthi, Head of Equity Research at CIMB Securities in India. Thank you for joining us, Pramod. Good morning. So markets fell after the budget was announced. Why wasn't the market more optimistic?
The consumer demand will take some time for it to recover than any budget supports. So the expectations on the consumer sector haven't come through. That's one. Second, there have been some technical related to the stock markets, which got disturbed. One is the tax on buybacks, which have been in there, been doing almost around $10 billion of buybacks per annum basis, nearly $10 billion of buybacks recently. So that, which used to provide a substantial support for some of the high-value stocks, has taken a breather. Second is also the fact that there are some taxation related for foreign investors which have cropped up. So even if you look at even today, the market fall has been much sharper than what we tried in the reaction. So some change in policy specific to market investments, the way the dividends are distributed through buybacks, have disturbed, and market doesn't like uncertainty or change of policy on those fronts, and hence it is trying to get aligned to these marginal shocks on those technical issues than the broader economic factors which they want to influence through the budget. So I would put it that way than to read through anything substantial on the economy going derailing, and hence it is getting factored in any manner in the stocks.
So you said that the government has not done enough to boost consumer demand. What do you think the government did not do so? Why do you think so?
Basically, I think two, three things. One is because of the physical limitations in terms of either the deficit or mobilization of revenue being a priority. So it has limited headroom to give away any freebies to revive the consumer demand, one. Second is a majority of the tax-related matters, like GST, is no more in the hand of the finance minister. It is run by the GST Council, which regularly meets and takes review of these tax rates, and which have a substantial bearing on the consumer prices, and hence the revival is also dependent on that. Third, the way the government has thought about is to drive the recovery through easy credit than directly intervening through tax reductions for the consumer. So they have taken a longer route than the immediate recovery could have been possible through the tax rate cut, which, as I said, has physical limitations.
And some commentators say that budget could do more to cushion the economy in light of the more tariffs by the U.S. on India exports. Do you think these comments are reasonable?
I don't think that is the case. If you look at some of the bigger decisions being taken are to basically take the economy to a next big level, which basically government is talking about doubling the GDP over the next 5 years period, is where the actions. In terms of import-export duties, if you look at specifically, which might be, as you were mentioning about the commentators, it is more to strengthen the local production and hence discourage imports, especially in terms of intermediates and raw material on that front, is what they are targeting on that, than trying to address anything as an external shock from the U.S. per se. I don't think that is built into the budget at this juncture.
Thank you so much, Pramod. And that was Pramod Anti, Head of Equity Research, CGS, CIMB Securities in India, weighing in with his thoughts on the Indian budget. Now we're coming up on a couple of messages and then after that, more local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.